Sometimes it seemed like a scene from The Wizard of Oz writing out the current coronavirus pandemic. When will the house fall and when will it be safe to come out again? This is Lisa Berry, and although it's been about 100 years since our last major pandemic, there are lessons to be learned and perhaps some patterns that are repeating. So we thought we would check in with Dr. Howard Markel, professor of history of medicine at the University of Michigan Medical School, director of the Center for the History of Medicine, author of several books. How are you doing? Are you holding up okay?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. I have a roof over my head. I have food in the refrigerator. Things are fine.
So you've studied epidemics over history and the effectiveness of efforts to contain their spread. So how do you think we're doing right now?
Well, I think you have to measure it state by state and even county by county, but I think we're doing a pretty good job in Michigan and certainly a very good job in Washtenaw County. I think the social distancing measures, as onerous as they are working, and I'm hoping we'll buy enough time to come up with something definitive like a vaccine that will protect us against this coronavirus.
We've heard 18 months is how long it would take. Do you agree with that?
Well, I'm not a vaccinologist. It tends to take 12 to 18 months because there's a great deal of testing, and there's also licensing and manufacturing, you know, millions or billions of doses, which takes time. So it is not, you know, it's not going to be the push of a button and come out tomorrow, but I'm hopeful we'll get a little bit of a break so that we can resume our lives, and then we can buy enough time to create a vaccine.
Now, what do you mean by get a bit of a break?
It is very possible that the epidemic curves will continue to fall, and that we'll see relatively few cases on a day-to-day basis, and hopefully we'll have accurate testing by that time, so that we can do what's called contact tracing of those who are ill and isolate the ill and quarantine, you know, the people who've had contact with them. The one glitch in all this is that we're getting reports of asymptomatic carriers who are coronavirus positive and are shedding virus but are not sick. And so that really is quite scary. So we have to figure out and develop much better testing so we have accurate numbers of what's out there. But another break might come, not necessarily, but it might come with the warm weather. Other coronaviruses, like the coronavirus that caused SARS, did not like humid, hot weather, and the cases seemed to die out in June of 2003. It had started in November of 2002 in Guangdong, China. You know, everything about this novel coronavirus is novel. And we don't know anything about it. We're learning stuff about it now, but we're learning as we go along. So we have no data for that. And you know, the COVID-19 is raging in places like Iran and Australia, which are have some warm weather right now. So that's not a guarantee, but that's my hope.
One of the books you've written is When Germs Travel, Six Major Epidemics That Have Invaded America Since 1900 and the Fears They Have Unleashed. I know you said this is a novel virus, but what will the germs do? How do we know when they're gone?
Well, the only way we'll know when they're gone is that we have fewer people coming to doctors who are sick with it and fewer people who are dying. And hopefully that will go down to a very low number. But, you know, there's no magic number or magic day that I can give you. I know that the governor just elongated the social distancing measure to May 15th. I would not be surprised if it went even longer. Now, you know, historians don't like the future by definition. We were uncomfortable with predictions, but I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
I don't think that's anything anybody wants to hear.
No. You're right. But for those of us who are lucky enough, fortunate enough to have a roof over our head, there are a lot worse things. I mean, people who used to be quarantined 100 years ago were put on an island somewhere and got bread and water and no medical care or attention of any kind. Now, having said that, I received a couple of emails the other day from somebody who had heard me or read something I said. Said, hey, doc, what would you do if you either showed up for work and got paid, or you stayed home, risked losing your house and not making your mortgage, risk getting a divorce, and then went down the line of a bunch of terrible things that might have happened. And I didn't have an answer for him. And the reality is we talked about this in Washington during the 2009 H1N1 flu pandemic, to create a fund, an unemployment fund, if you will, during a contagious crisis that automatically kicks in for Americans who are hourly workers or have to show up if they want to get paid, because it's an untenable choice to put an American in the situation of either going to work to pay their mortgage or staying home and doing the socially right thing. So we have to do a better job as a nation going forward to make sure something like that is in place.
Right.
It's really essential, because these diseases are socially mediated. They're spread by breathing and coughing and sneezing and close contact. And so if people are doing the right social thing, they're making a social contract with the government, with their institutions, what have you, we have to take care of them as a nation.
Did you see this coming?
You know, about 20 years ago, I was at the National Archives, and I got paged by a reporter for Time magazine, and he kept bothering, when's the next epidemic? What's it going to be? When's it? I don't know. I don't know. Finally, I got frustrated. I said, look, nobody knows. Anyone who tells you they know is either an idiot or lie. And that's how I was quoted in Time magazine that week. So I did not say that.
Right.
But the reality is nobody knows. But here's the thing. We were predicting an influenza pandemic. That's what everyone was talking about, and probably was going to come out of Asia. Coronavirus, though, has popped up already three times now in the 21st century. There was SARS in 2002 to 2003. There was MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, that was related to camels and camel milk in 2012, but popped up in 14 and 15 and other places as well. And now we have COVID-19. So we really have to do a better job on studying the coronavirus situation. But here's the bad news. We live in a world of emerging infectious diseases. So it's like a giant roulette table. It's very hard to predict where the ball is going to fall. But as long as we continue to have really close contact with animals, because coronavirus is a zoonotic disease. It comes from an animal to a human, and then it mixes within the genome of the human and finds a way to become easily transmitted human to human. And we're pretty sure that this emerged in one of the wet markets in Wuhan, where live animals of all kinds are butchered fresh before the consumer's eyes. But if you think of the fluid, blood, and other stuff that's aerosolized, in such a situation, it's a public health nightmare. So we're going to have to do something about social practices like that put people at risk as well. But, you know, there are plenty of candidates out there that could mutate and become the next big thing. What we need to do is prepare every day. And the minute this COVID-19 pandemic is put to rest, that's the time to start planning for the next one. And generally, the final act of almost every epidemic or pandemic I've studied is one that I call global amnesia. Like SARS, what's that? AIDS, is that still a problem? Microbes, we never conquer them. At best, we wrestle them to a draw. So we have to be very careful and think about them all the time.
How do you sleep at night knowing all that?
Well, I don't sleep as well as I used to. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I'm thinking about this.
So let me ask you this then. When will we know it's okay to go out? And once we do return to a bit more of quote-unquote normal society, will it be completely different?
Well, we'll know when we know. I can't give you a good date. Mm-hmm. And we'll know when there's very few cases around and very few deaths. I am not subscribing to all this doom and gloom that America will change as we know it and it'll never be the same again. Well, it won't be the same again in terms of how we think about pandemics. And everyone in the country needs to think about their public health department, whether it's the local level or national level or the international level, as a fire department. Now, all of us pay taxes to fund our fire departments, and I'll bet most of the people listening have never had their house burned down. But you don't mind it, because in case it does, you want them to come out rather quickly. And that's the same thing with public health. We have to fund it constantly and make sure that experts are working on these issues and preparing for the next one all the time. But I also know, in the broad scheme of history, human beings have dealt with epidemics and pandemics almost since there's been human beings, and the world has continued. The economy has continued. Has it taken a huge hit? Absolutely. Will small business struggle and some will go out of business? I hope not, but that may be. But I'm hopeful that we'll get back to life as we know it as soon as we have this managed. And we'll manage it. It just doesn't feel that way because we're still in the middle. There's this fog and we can't see the other side of it yet.
Dr. Howard Markell from the University of Michigan, very grateful for you sharing your time and expertise with us here on 89.1 WEMU. Stay well, and please come back anytime you want to talk some more.
My pleasure. I love what you guys do. Keep doing it. Stay well.